Hey everyone, it's Kevin. How are you? Jeff and I want to thank you for listening to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Now, our newest episode is here. However, unfortunately, we had a little bit of technical difficulties. We had the first minute or two cut from our opening on the podcast we taped on Monday. So we're going to jump right into the Houston Oakland Raiders breakdown from last weekend in the wild card weekend. So we apologize for the technical difficulties. And our guest in studio is Kenny Warren. Again, thank you so much for listening to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Enjoy.
When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up five, six flights of stairs.
So what?
So let's dance.
Two touchdowns, threw for 165 yards.
Ran for 1-2.
Right, well, those are probably two touchdowns.
Lamar Miller, his stats are very deceiving. 31 carries, 73 yards. Shitty yard per carry.
Yeah.
Shitty. Not good.
He's an okay back. He's not amazing.
He's serviceable. He'll have his moments. Oakland D is not as bad as people thought it was. They've definitely shored up. Khalil Mack has definitely made that a higher-ranked D.
He is
phenomenal. Phenomenal indeed. And then we had...
Next year they get Alden Smith back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he'll be insane. The Raiders lost, so Houston now has the privilege to go up to Foxborough, where the line is now 17 points.
Hold on a second. Before we get off the Texans-Oakland game.
Oh, sure.
Okay, some of that blame got to go to those receivers.
Dropsies.
I mean, the second we're going to talk a little bit about fantasy before this hour's up, but what happened to Amari Cooper
and Crabtree
from week 8 on?
I had him in one of my leagues. He fell. Oh, again, numbers are deceiving. He had over 1,100 yards receiving this year. Touchdowns were down, but deceiving. He is the ultimate, you know, in peak or valley kind of player.
Second half of the season, not a game over 100 yards.
Right.
Okay. I mean, we're talking about a guy who in fantasy was, you would have to say, a middle to lower half second round guy in a PPR league.
Or even a straight up league. I was getting him as a late second, early third.
Right. And now, you know, next year, I mean, he's dropping, I think, third round. I think he's third round, possible fourth round type of guy.
I don't know about that. I think Carr being back is going to have a nice bounce back, and him being even better, that's just going to make them better.
I think he'll be if you get him at the end of the third round, I think that's a good value.
That's a good pick.
But I'm not going up and grabbing Amari Cooper. Like, no. There are guys who I think surpassed him. I guess maybe we could talk fantasy a little bit now. But I mean, I think a guy like Mike Evans has surpassed him.
You see, Mike, I had him last year. Mike Evans didn't do shit. But I traded him off.
But he had an amazing,
year this year. He's top
a guy
five.
We're going to bring up a little bit later on.
So now Houston goes to up to New England. It's minus 17, one of the highest spreads you'll ever see, especially in a playoff game. That's insane.
Is that higher? Right?
Yeah. Open at 17. Kenny Warren, you have a thought.
The game will be much closer than that line.
You're going to bet the 17 then, get the points.
Does weather play a factor in this?
The weather plays a factor, but it's playoff time. And, you know, right now the Texans are feeling like, you know, we got a little roll going.
Two words for you, though.
Bill Belichick.
Brock Osweiler.
I said Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's no comparison to Tom Brady. This is opposite ends of the spectrum, really. But sometimes, you know, you get those quarterbacks that's just serviceable. Like, remember when Tampa Bay won it with Dilfer? Baltimore with Dilfer. He wasn't.
It's because he had a lights-out defense.
When Tampa won it, who was their quarterback?
Brad Johnson.
Another, like...
He's better than Brock Osweiler.
Not a
Brad Johnson put up numbers. He put up... I had him in fantasy that year. He had solid numbers. He's not, like, a top 10, but he's at least top 15. He put up pretty good numbers.
Brock Osweiler was almost the equivalent of Mark Sanchez this year. He was absolutely brutal. But in his defense, he had, Kevin and I were talking about this before. He didn't turn the ball over. You know, Connor Cook, had three interceptions on the day yesterday?
One was at the very end.
Still, I mean, it's still three interceptions. You know, that's the difference in the game right there.
Well, it was his first NFL start, Jeff. You can't expect much from a guy when it's his first career start in the playoffs.
No, understood. But I think that you don't know what Brock Osweiler you're going to get. I don't have faith in him. I think you give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for a team, and especially a guy who's not going to make plays. He doesn't throw the ball downfield very well.
Not at all.
I mean, how do you have a guy like that that's an athletic freak like DeAndre Hopkins, and they can't, and his catches are in half this year?
So here we go. So Kenny just brought up a point. I'm going to fight you on your own point. You said weather. Is that going to play a factor? It is, because Houston plays in a dome.
That's it.
Brock Osweiler in the fucking cold is a shit show. And I'll even add this on top of it. Week four or three, I think, Patriots played at home against Houston. What happened?
Shut up.
A third string quarterback. The fucking, they don't stand a chance in that building. I'm laying 17
and
running the
but
bank.
But here's the other thing, though. That defense is playing a lot better now. And for the, the Texans are finally getting, like their return on Jadeveon Clowney, man.
He had a great game.
He was a force. He's been a force also as the season's progressed. They're a little bit better. They're a little healthier defense now. You know, but I still, there's no way.
If you don't think they're going to double him up, you're insane. They're going to smoke the shit out of him.
I'm not out of my mind. I don't think that the Texans are going to go in there and win at all. I mean, that game's going to be over. I think
middle of the second quarter.
I changed my mind on that.
That game's gonna be 28-0 by the middle of the second quarter.
Yeah, I think next week the game to watch is gonna be Pittsburgh Chiefs.
And well, Ben's out of the walking boot. I'll tell you, let's pull the lines up here. That's interesting. Andy Reid in the playoffs has habitually not been that great. I don't trust
him. He's 5-0. Coming off the buys.
I don't know, man.
The line is Kansas City -2, which is funny because home field advantage is always -3.
I'm taking Kansas City.
I got Pitt.
See, I might be with you on that. I might take the points with Pitt and
I
run.
I just feel like...
It opened at a pick'em, by the way.
They have...
That's how bad...
They're dynamic. That running back...
Oh, it's great.
That running back...
Best running back in the league. Right?
And then
killer.
AB.
No.
Come on, man. They're dynamic, man. They can score...
At will.
Any time, like if AB gets a step on the safety, he's going all the way.
Also talking about arguably the best secondary in football, and you're talking about a for real defense. Kansas City's got a for real defense.
True,
they're good. They can rush the passer. They can cover. They have who's that kid? Marcus Peterson, is that thing?
Marcus Peters,
okay, who's been a ball hawk all year.
Justin Houston's been back in full swing, too.
He's healthy again. I really like Kansas City a lot, especially, with the bye this week.
They've had time to prepare. Ben's a little banged up. Let me see where the line goes. You can make a case. Listen, Kansas City, not a crazy call. My gut says Pitt, maybe down the road, who knows, but you got an insane running back who, if he doesn't get smoke pot again this year, he's the number one overall pick in fantasy football, without question. The guy is the first guy ever to average 100 rushing and 50 receiving.
Kenny, you have the number one pick in fantasy. You taking Bell? Or you taking David Johnson?
I think he might take. I think it's a boy who wears a star in his helmet.
I'll probably take Ezekiel Elliott.
How come?
I like the half shirts, the half shirts, the whole half shirt thing. Nah, man, he's only gonna get better.
He's a big Cowboy.
The line is insane.
But also he has that breakaway speed. Like that's the difference in him and like Emmitt Smith. Emmitt didn't really have the breakaway speed. He had moves and jukes, but this dude, if he gets in the open field, he turns into another gear.
If Bell does not get caught smoking weed again, I take Bell. But if I have two, I can easily pull the trigger on Elliott. Easily.
Let's jump into fantasy first. Hold on a second. If you had, in fantasy next year, are the top three players going to be Bell, Johnson, and Zeke?
I would say yes.
Julio Jones is
no, too inconsistent.
No?
I got one of my best friends has him. He had, besides that 300-yard week, no, too inconsistent. He would also get banged up a lot, too.
Does Beckham pull out of the first round?
Definitely not.
Nah.
No, no way.
He's one of the best.
11th. I got him, I think,
of
11.
For the past 2 years, Antonio Brown's been the number one guy. But I think he's kind of like going, he's going to be like either third or fourth
I have numbers on Antonio Brown because I had him in two leagues. It's a teaser of mine. My top three picks I had this year, I had him in two leagues. Antonio Brown had 1,284 yards and 12 touchdowns. You tell me how he's not going to be a top five play.
I'm not saying he's not going to be a top five play. I'm just saying I think because the trend was going away from running backs because there's no bell cows. But I think the three guys, because the gap between Bell, Johnson, and Zeke, and then the next tier is so great. That you know, you want, if you're going to pick a running back, you know, you want to pick one of those.
Jay Ajayi is going to make the top 10, top first round pick next year. But the, write it down.
You know that there's a big difference between Jay Ajayi and the three guys I just mentioned.
Yeah. Of course there is.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, if you're the ninth,
he's at next tier.
Yeah,
if you're at ninth,
he's a hard runner. I mean, listen, man, that guy's worked his balls off. So I kind of like give it up to Jay Ajayi. You know. DeMarco Murray is another guy, but they're the
faded off a bit.
But they are those, you know, the second tier guys.
If you're at a 9, 10, or 11, you can easily pull the trigger on a Jai. What am I saying? If Julio's gone, Brown's gone, and you can even throw an OBJ probably as well. If all those guys are gone, I easily can take Jai at that spot.
So now, listen, if you're like taking that 11th, 12th pick. You know, maybe a guy like, you know, Evans or somebody falls to you there, you know, or someone of that caliber, and then on the turn.
Ooh, here's another name who also might squeak his way in the first round, and that's a guy who came out of nowhere this year, and that's Jordan Howard, the Bears running back.
Yeah, you know what?
He can easily make
You can't make that decision yet, and here's the reason why.
You
don't know what they're going to get. You got to see what they're going to draft. Because they draft a guy or pick up a guy who can handle like the third downs, his touches kind of get cut by close to a third.
But he's still insane.
He's new. But if everything kind of stays the same, he's the kind of guy that if you can pick him up at the end of your second round,
middle of the second round, he will be gone. I promise you that. I'm telling you, he can go 11 or 12. All right.
That's real. Let me tell you something. There's no way I'm taking Jordan Howard in the first round.
We got to see how it shakes out. All right, next game we're going to get to. We had a Sunday night game, the Detroit Lions-Seattle game. That's the only game I got right. I took the under, hit that. Exactly. I think Seattle's going to get smoked in Atlanta next week.
No.
I think they're going on the road and win.
They could.
Matt Ryan. I shouldn't say smoked. You're right. That's going to be an over game, by the way. Let's put that on the board on there as well. Atlanta sucks in a big game. I do not trust Matt Ryan. I think he gets picked off in the championship round. He wins this week, though. Matt Ryan wins. Are they going to cover? I don't know.
What's the spread?
Let's find out.
Because, you know what? I really like, at this time of year, Doug Baldwin.
4.5.
Right?
4.5, Atlanta.
Yeah. They're playoff proven.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Like, certain people step their game up at certain times of the year. Like, you know, I always thought in the playoffs that Romo, like, fell asleep. It was like, it's too much pressure. But some people, they play better with pressure on them, like, much better. And I think, you know, their quarterback in Seattle.
He's
good.
Nothing wrong with that. Two of the last 3 years, they've made deep runs in the playoffs. That battle tested.
Well, they fucked up the last play of the second Super Bowl they should have won.
Yeah, right.
Marshawn Lynch has three cracks to run that in, and they had at least one, probably, I think even two timeouts. We don't have to go down that road again. No. They should be back-to-back champions.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not even close. So, yeah, I take it back. Can Seattle win the game? Yes, but I don't know.
But that's going to be an over game.
Oh, absolutely. And Green Bay, Dallas is an over game. Write that down.
I hate Atlanta's defense.
Vic Beasley led the league in sacks this year, 15 and a half.
But still, I love the way Thomas Rawls was running the ball. And again, Detroit's defense is a good defense.
They're banged up.
They're not a guess, but they're a tough defense. They really are. Matt Stafford, great year, had a great season.
Until that broken thumb.
But they have no weapons on offense.
Colton Tate's decent. Not going to get your dick hard, but he's decent.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Most teams, he's a number three receiver. Questionable number two. He's not a number one.
No, he's not a number one. No, I'm not pretending to say that. No, right. they need to upgrade. We know that.
And who's their running back in that game? Zenner?
The greatest white running back, one of the guys said in the NFL. He's the best white running back. Like, how many fucking white running backs are there?
Toby Gerhardt.
Mark Rupnowski. John Kuhn.
Yeah, but they're the fullbacks.
I know that. That's funny. Then we had on Sunday afternoon, Pitt, Miami. I took the over. I missed on that. The first quarter was 17 points. I'm like, well, this is an easy one.
Goodbye.
What's that?
Goodbye after that.
No, at the half, they had over the 50% for the point total. They look good. I look good
at the
half.
That was another boring game.
Yeah. Well, look, Matt Moore and Roethlisberger traded fucking fumbles in the red zone late in the first half.
That's
it right there. They both kick a field goal. I'm in.
At the end of the first half, if Miami puts a score, any type of score, it's a one possession game.
Right.
Okay. But they fumble, and there you go. The wind is out of Miami sails. The game basically turns on that, and they're done. But I love the coach, man. I think Adam Gase really got.
I like the fake punt run. I like that. That was cool.
Great call.
Yeah.
He's a good coach.
Unlike the next game, Mike McCarthy, when he goes for it, even though the Giants lost, but how the fuck are you going to go for it on your own 40?
Jackass.
Him and Doug Peterson, the Eagles, love doing dumb fourth down, and the Giants are insane against fucking fourth down. Too bad the rest of the defense didn't show up in the second half. First quarter, the defense was killing Aaron Rodgers. 6 yards. 6 yards. I said, this is the way
to
go.
The Hail Mary at the end of the first half.
They did to us what we did to them 5 years ago. That's exactly what they did. I said, that's fuck. But here's the thing. We were only down by one at that point. Right? Yeah. 14. No. Yeah.
No. You were down by one.
One. Right.
Now you're going to halftime down by eight. But also, I think this.
But then here's the thing. He goes for it on fourth down.
You're an athlete. You played sports. There is nothing more deflating that you played your heart out. You know you dominated. And on that lucky shit play at the end of the half, now that's demoralizing.
That hurt.
You just know, hey, this is not, you could say all the stuff. You could play hard, but you just know in the back of your mind, you're just waiting for the bottom to drop out. And I just got to give a shout out to my son Ryan, who called that. With 5 minutes to go, he said, I'm telling you, at the end of the first half, they're going to throw a Hail Mary. I just looked at him like he was Notre Dame. He called that
Nostradamus, close enough. But no, you said Notre Dame, like Notre Dame. You heard it too, Kenny Warren.
He's talking football, man. Let him get his. You know,
yeah. See, that's because Kenny could be a dick in life,
or I could be a dick and not tell you that you're wrong. So when you say it for the rest, when you say it for the people, they go, oh, "This guy's retarded." So I did you a favor. Okay. You're welcome.
Again, wrap it up in the email. Let's go.
Listen, so. Giants had that happen. And listen, I read an article yesterday. Hakeem Nicks said the first time they played, well, the last time they played in the playoffs, when they did that to them, when he caught that, he saw Greg Jennings going to the locker room in half, and Greg Jennings had a look like someone just ran over his puppy dog. He's like, oh, come on, man, smile. You're all right. Same exact circumstances, just reversed. But here's the thing. Did it take the win out of the sails? Yeah. But then, when What's-His-Face goes for it on his own 40, Giants score.
Who's What's-His-Face?
Sorry, McCarthy. Goes for it on his own fucking 40. Next play, Eli turns around and throws a fucking touchdown. They're down by one. Right then, right back in the game. But then Packers go right down the goddamn field, go up again by eight, and that's all she wrote from there on out. Yeah, Eli was not the problem. Everyone wants to shit on Eli. Again, Eli played great. Not his fault.
I thought the receivers were the problem.
That's a problem. Yeah, the receivers, OBJ, at least 3 drops, at least, including a fucking touchdown.
Well, I think the big one, which kind of gets overseen a lot, was
the third down.
Exactly. Third and 11, keeping that drive going. At least they get something out of it. And he drops the ball, and they have to punt again. And this is after you just dominate. Those quick three and outs. I mean, all the momentum's on your side. Again, you're an athlete. When you have a team against the ropes, and you have crush them, step on their throat.
The goal was to keep the ball out of his hands. That's what they were doing. They kept the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands.
Especially on the road.
So you think that trip down to Miami might have affected?
No, not at all.
No.
Here's the difference between the trip to Miami and the one that Dallas went did with
Tom.
All the sports stations are talking shit about that. Here, the Giants were in Miami 24 hours. The fucking Packers got the Cowboys guys were there for a week. That's the difference. The Giants didn't miss practice at all. I don't think it affected anything. I think what affected them was the media constantly in their fucking ear, like, you're in Miami. What the fuck are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? That's what got in their head. Not from them being in Miami for a day and then being in practice the next day.
It's a bad look for the Giants.
It is.
You know, if they win the game, no one's talking about it. Okay? If Odell makes the plays, no one's talking about it.
Right.
But because he had a bad game, maybe he's not used to playing that type of weather. Okay?
Stop. Yes, so, he is. Because they play this weather here all the time.
Okay? So maybe...
Okay.
But the thing is, if they play well and they lose, it didn't affect them. It looks really bad that you went down to Miami and partying with jerk off Justin Bieber, okay? And
oh, it was with Bieber too.
Yeah,
Bieber. Trey Songz, Bieber.
Yeah,
the Biebs.
You guys got jinxed.
Shit. Listen, that's what happens. Defense fucking... defense got blown out in the fucking late third quarter, and that was it. I tell you, and here's another one, too. And this is the worst time for this guy to have the bad game. This guy's been nothing but money in the bank, 17 games. Again, I watch every minute of every Giant game. Brad Wing, the punter, had a bad game punting yesterday. And that guy has been money in the bank every... His first punt, fucking right on the five. Like, after that, it was a fucking downhill game for him, and he has been money. So I can't get pissy at Brad Wing. One of the reasons we lost, you better believe it. But we lost, one of the factors, short field, as you just said. What's that?
Fantasy.
So
do a little fantasy.
Kenny Warren, you going live here, pal?
Yeah,
buddy. What's going on?
Well, I was gonna go Instagram, but I think I will go live with you guys.
Whatever you want to do, my friend.
You know, this is pretty good, man. You guys talk some good sports.
We try to.
I got some little things that I'm going to add to my fantasy football next year. Little insight.
You
got
to listen to the show.
Yeah,
yes,
man.
You do. Sports Book Box Office Podcast. Yes, it's on iTunes, so find us there if you haven't found us yet.
Ooh.
Jeff Paul wanted me to do a little bit of fantasy football homework. I ended up losing my league, by the way. I lost the Super
How
Bowl.
How many leagues were you in this year?
Three. I went to the playoffs in two of them. I lost mine in the Super Bowl. Yeah, still took him 11 bucks.
I think we had some of the leagues. I was... I made the playoffs in two out of three.
Right.
Second place finish with good money in one, and a third place finish in another.
Third place cash?
Yeah.
Good deal. All right, free money. There's Jeff Paul on the live. What's going on, folks? How are you? Thanks for hanging out with us today on the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. So Jeff Paul wanted me to go and find out three players on fantasy that I thought on my teams that did great and three players were busts. Here are my three. Now, I mentioned one a little bit before, and that's the Antonio Brown, that insane motherfucker in Pittsburgh that does nothing but catch bombs.
So did you say he was...
on the top three list.
Boom. But how
boom. First pick overall in two of my leagues I got was first overall.
Definitely first pick.
Because was he a surprise kid?
No, he's just that goddamn good. 1284 and 12 touchdowns, that's money in the bank for me.
Okay.
Yeah. And consistent, most importantly. You talk about Julio Jones, big difference. Julio had that monster game, 300 yards. After that, what did he do? Very, very little. A lot of injuries. I do not like Julio Jones as a pick. I always avoid him. My next pick, LeSean McCoy. I had him a couple years ago, got burned his last year with the Eagles. This year with the Bills, 1,200 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns. Insane. LeSean McCoy, another boom. Last but not least, and I told you this was my sleeper, not a sleeper pick, but I got insane value for this guy, Tom Brady. Missing four games. He still threw for 35, 54, 28 touchdowns, and just two picks. And that's missing four games.
What round did you get him in?
Sixth.
That's good value. That's
insane value.
All right, let me give you my three guys.
Hey, sure.
Here's my three booms.
Got it.
Melvin Gordon.
Yes.
Okay, got him in the sixth round. Last year, he had 108
points. Had him last year. Okay. Terrible.
This year, 249 points.
Right.
Last year, no touchdowns. This year,
14?
12 touchdowns.
Total?
10 rushing to receiving. Plus, he adds on 419 receiving yards compared to under 200 last year. My second guy is a guy we spoke about before, and we spoke about earlier in the show, was Mike Evans.
Right.
Last year, 170.
Bad year.
This year, almost 100 more, 260. Last year, three touchdowns. This year, a dozen.
Right.
A great, great year. And 100 more receiving yards, and another 22 more catches. So in the PPR, you filter that down. That's another almost point and a half per game.
One second, let's pause. And here's a guy I drafted as a backup quarterback, but I started him several times. Jameis Winston had a fucking pretty damn good
year.
Solid.
Against a lot of shitty defenses, I started him. He did pretty well. Pretty damn well.
He was going to be my third guy here, but the guy who I had eke him out was Marcus Mariota, based on the year he had.
Sure. Prior.
248 points. This year, 311. But the thing that really stands out to you is the yards thrown. 2,800 last year to 3,400 this year. Plus 26 touchdowns compared to 19 last year, and he cuts down on the interceptions.
Well, that's him growing as a quarterback. And also, let's also not forget the addition of DeMarco Murray.
Absolutely, and Derrick Henry.
That's true, too.
I always thought was very underrated.
That's one of those Oregon Ducks,
Quack, quack, says Kenny Warren.
Yeah, representing always.
That's right.
Let's go for the busts.
Hold on a second. Kenny, how about you? Who kind of stood out to you this year on your teams?
Well, I picked Julio Jones. That was my first pick. He hates Julio. I think.
What number did you get him at?
That was my first pick.
No. What pick were you?
I was picked like 8.
See, that's a fine pick there. Yeah. I'm just saying. Like, I don't trust him.
How does Julio Jones drop to 8?
Well, because people were going for like the big names. They were Odell went early. Antonio Brown went early, and then people were like Tom Brady.
Insanely early.
First round.
He was, and people didn't care that
any
was,
quarterback in the first round.
Not anymore. It's not like Peyton Manning where he put
we
up
had
a
the
fucking
barbershop. We really don't know. This was our second year doing it. We kind of learning as we go.
Sounds good. Who else did you have as your top three picks that did well for you?
I had my QB was I had Seattle. Russell Wilson, and then I had a receiver. Oh, who's my other receiver? No, my running back was it might have been DeMarco Murray. Yeah, I think
pretty
I got
good
DeMarco
year.
Murray in the third
yeah,
round.
Very good year.
Pretty good year.
Yeah,
he was all right.
How about busts?
All right, here we go.
Who broke your heart?
Keenan Allen, the fucking. Second or third play, and I had him again last year when he got when he got banged out early too. Yep. So I was, and it's funny, and this was the third league I drafted. In my league I drafted, and I had two of my leagues. I had Amari Cooper in. I'm like, I don't know if I triple up on Amari Cooper because if he gets fucked, I'm fucked for three leagues. So I said, all right, I'll take Keenan out instead. Bitch got his blasted out week one. You know, halfway in the first quarter, out. He can't stay healthy, so Keenan Allen is on my avoid list next year. Number two, this might surprise people.
You won't draft him next year?
Probably. Well, it's going to be way later. Take him in.
If he's there fourth round,
no, too early.
You don't like him?
Nope. Second round, second receiver. I take him. Is my second receiver? I'll take him, but not as a first, which I had. Jordan Reed. He is a feast and famine guy. He had 686. 6 touchdowns, but he missed 4 games. Not healthy enough.
Who was your backup?
I picked up Vernon Davis, actually, because he picked the slack up.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, because that's a pass-heavy offense in Washington. The defense is shit, we know. And I'd say this guy was really disappointing this year, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars, Allen Robinson, 883 and 6 touchdowns. And he had a lot of these guys saying, you know, Blake Bortles is going to have a lower year this year.
You know how many touchdowns he had last year?
Yeah, I had him last year, like 12.
14.
There you go. I had him last year.
He goes from 14 to 6. And receiving yards, you said 883.
Yeah, 1,200 like last year?
1,400.
Yeah, he was insane last year. He fucked me royally.
Yeah.
Royally.
Yeah.
So those are my three busts. Keenan Allen, Jordan Reed, and Allen Robinson. Now I think Allen Robinson, I'll bite back on him again this year. I'm like, you know what? I'll give him another year.
I like the Jacksonville hire there. I think they'll do a good job with Bortles. All right, let me give you my three guys who really killed me. Thomas Rawls.
I had him too, but he got injured.
I know, but still, 74 fantasy points, no good. I couldn't deal with that. Eli Manning, man,
disappointing. Very disappointing year.
Went from 397 to 277.
Yeah,
touchdowns were down, interceptions were up, even rushing yards. Only 9 rushing yards.
He's not a mobile quarterback.
9 rushing yards.
Last year he had 61. Again, that's still 6 more points.
Offensive line's always been shaky this year.
And this was my biggest disappointment. I think it's the biggest disappointment in fantasy. Cam Newton. Okay, last year
Super Bowl hangover.
That was happening.
Kenny. 559 compared to 292. 35 touchdowns last year to 19 this year.
I called it.
Everybody did. You can't replicate
another season.
But come on, that's a.
What do you have touchdowns last year? How many?
Last year, 35.
All right, so then you would probably expect him to fall down to about 25-ish, right?
Mid late 20s. I thought he'd be like around 28,
29. Yeah, it's in mid to late 20s, right?
Okay, but 19.
It's terrible.
That's almost half.
Oh, look at their record.
It's nuts. It's
indicative.
Yeah.
I knew it, though.
And Kelvin Benjamin, I didn't have him, but he was also a dog after the first.
Well, if your quarterback sucks this year, what are your receivers going to do?
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, that's the case. I mean,
I know, but I mean, he just disappeared. He's a much more talented guy than that. I mean, they got to go do a complete overhaul now in that offense.
From Super Bowl to dog shit.
Dog shit.
It's amazing how the NFL works. It's a very abrupt turn for the up or for the down. Look at the Giants last year, 6-10. This year, 11 wins. Boom. $200 million on the defensive fucking in the, you know, guys, that's going to be the difference. But
all right, so let's make a couple of predictions here. Who do we like now this week?
Okay, let's, well, yeah.
Well, of course, we're going with the Cowboys, all of us.
That's, why are you going with the
that's
Cowboys?
That's crazy talk.
Well, we got a fine-tuned machine.
-4, Dallas.
We got a fine-tuned machine. We got some rest. Dak turned out to be a little better of a reader of the field than people thought that he would be this season.
I think he's
fair point.
I think he's the biggest surprise of any draft pick in the league this year.
But no one drafted him in fantasy.
And
no, I'm talking about in
right, oh, overall. Okay, yeah. Right. No one's drafted Dak Prescott.
I mean, no. Connor Cook was taking over Dax.
And then you know, our running game, it when we control the ball, it kind of neutralizes all these superstars like Aaron Rodgers and
no.
Amory, you have a problem with this?
No. I don't know if their defense can contain Aaron Rodgers.
No.
We got to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field with our offense. Ezekiel Elliott.
That's
25
the key of the
rushes.
Game. Well, it depends how many yards he goes for. 25 for 75 or 25 for 150.
150.
We'll find out. Look, I like the
I like how Kenny says with 100% confidence.
Listen, if
y'all don't play good at home.
They don't. And listen, Aaron Rodgers has caught fire at the absolute right time.
Kevin, make your prediction.
I'm taking Green Bay in the points. But I love the over more. I love the over more.
I'm going with Green Bay in the points as well. Yeah. I don't like to agree with you, but I have to.
That means Cowboys.
All right. We also have, Kansas City, we talked about, -2 and 45.5.
Well, I'm going Kansas City.
Got my gut said Steelers first, so I'm going to go take the Steelers +2.
I'm taking the Steelers.
Ben is amazing in the playoffs. We all know that. Houston, minus 17 and 45. God, I think the fucking... God. Actually, I'm seeing 17. I'm taking the fucking Patriots. They're going to absolutely obliterate the piss out of them. It's not even close.
Yeah,
dissenters.
Yeah, I'm going. I got to go Green Bay. Yeah. Not Green Bay. The Patriots. I see that game like a 45-10 game.
No, the money line's got to be like -750 or something stupid like that.
Then you have Marcellus Bennett getting 2 touchdowns.
Martellus Bennett. Okay. Marcellus Wiles.
Notre Dame is man.
Atlanta 4.5 and 50.5. That's tough.
Say it again?
Atlanta -4.5 and 50.5 is the over-under. I think the over can easily happen. I like a lot of overs this week.
Kenny, who do you like in Seattle, Atlanta? I think it's the toughest game.
I'm just going to have to go with Seattle. I just feel like their playoff...
You know the game is in Atlanta.
I know this, but their playoff proven. And, I mean, that quarterback, he plays well. He plays well under pressure.
Okay, I'm taking Seattle the points, and here's why. Matt Ryan at home this year is 5-3. I'm not saying they're not going to win. I'm saying they're not going to cover 4.5. Mm. I'm saying that defense is shitty enough where they can come backdoor that shit. Maybe they can win outright. I would not be surprised one bit. Could totally buy your argument. I can even see easier them not covering, but Seattle covering the points. Getting the backdoor cover.
I'm going with my boy here, Kenny Warren. I'm going to go Seahawks.
Outright or just the cover? I say the cover is good.
Seattle's getting points?
4.5.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle. I'll put money on that.
Outright as well, though? I'm going to say outright?
Yeah.
It's winning outright. So take the money line, then.
I think they wind up winning. All right, before we move on to movie game, let's talk real quickly about tonight's... College championship. Who do you fellas like and why?
Man, you know the Crimson Tide is just—they're the cream of the crop. It's basically a combine for the NFL.
That's a great line. That is a combine. How many pros are coming out of that game?
Amari Cooper did. Landon Collins did. And
Julio
Clinton
Jones.
Dix. No, Julio Jones is why.
Oh, he didn't go.
I like Alabama. I think you.
What's the line?
I think you're looking at an old-time defense, old-time college defense, and Nick Saban moves in with the greats as one of the old-time great college coaches.
That's a no-brainer already.
But does the Lane Kiffin distraction play any role in tonight's game?
No. They know the plays already. They've been running the fucking plays all year. Here's the line, kids. I'm seeing Vegas has it at actually 6. Mostly 6. One place has it at 7. Alabama laying 6, 51.5 is the over-under.
It'll be over.
Well, you remember what the score was last year. It was 45-40. You know, no one. But I think this Alabama defense is a better defense. I think the Clemson defense, even though it doesn't have, you know, like the great players that the Clemson defense had last year, I think they're a more cohesive defense. I see it being a lower scoring game. I'm going Alabama, and I think I may take the under on it.
Okay. Okay. I don't have any thought. I haven't watched college football, so I'm not going to give any kind of opinion. Just again, it's just tough to bet against Saban. What was it, 5 championships in a decade, has it been?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? Okay. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama won. I don't know. I'll have to make a prediction. So onward and upward. So, Kenny, of course, like I said, the title of our podcast is a Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. We did a lot of sports talk. Now it's time to talk films. Have you caught any films recently that you care to share an opinion about?
Yeah, I saw Star Wars Rogue One.
I did too. What'd you think?
It was a good movie.
Right. Loved it.
I watched it in 3D.
Was it worth it dropping the extra bucks in 3D?
It kind of evened out because, you know, they tell you to put your glasses in that box when you leave, and those are my new Ray-Bans.
I take mine home too. Fuck that. If I'm paying $15 a ticket, they're coming home with me.
It was $20.75 now.
Mingya. That's insane.
That is insane.
It's a lot of money to pay to sit with a bunch of people who don't know how to shut the fuck up during a theater. That's ridiculous.
Because you guys are doing it wrong.
See,
I went.
You got to get the movies on the street and watch it on your home.
No. This is one that you don't see in the theater.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't watch.
This is one you don't pay to see in a theater.
Right? I'm not a geek.
That's fine.
I'm a little geeky.
I loved it. That was great. Hey.
Someone just took
a throwing up signs.
The studio, yes.
Cool. What else you see besides Rogue One? Anything else?
Rogue One. I saw that just this year. That was the only movie I've seen this year. This was last week. Let's see.
All right. And that's indicative of this past year's movie box office. It's been a shit year of films, as we have said ad nauseum. And if someone has to strain that hard to think of films you've seen, then nothing memorable has come out.
Comedy takes my life over, man. Yeah. I don't get to see movies as much.
Right on. So we like to play.
Did you sit at home last night with a glass of wine watching the Golden Globes?
As Jeffrey Paul likes to say, I'm a real man. I don't watch that shit. Did you watch him, Jeffrey Paul?
It was in the background.
That's a yes.
Now my wife and a friend was sitting there watching the Golden Globes.
Of course.
And I was doing work at the table, and that was on. I can see an eye to it.
Mm-hmm.
Snooze fest. It is the shittiest show ever.
Why are we? That's like saying, newsflash, dirt is brown and water is blue. Like, are you on a bunch of fucking blowhards trying to make themselves more? They're pretending to be somebody else, and the whole self-aggrandizing speeches. The Meryl Streep's doing what she has to say, and people getting mad about it. What do you expect? It's a fucking award show. That's all they do is suck each other's dicks metaphorically. Why are we surprised? No, next.
Yeah, I gotta say, we just spent way too much time
talking about the Golden Globes. I actually put a joke on Twitter. I said, more people tweeted about Meryl Streep's speech last night than who actually saw Florence Foster Jenkins and Ricky in the Flash. Two or late. Last films were bombs.
It's a good thing that wasn't too wordy.
All right, Grandpa Glasses. Let's get on with our game here. I'll pause for a second. So, Kenny, the game we like to play is we like to take movies that are coming out in their first weekend and guess their opening grosses. Okay. All right? So we've got a few to go over. Let's see how we fared, and then you get to jump in and make your guesses for the next 2 weeks' worth of film. So hang on for 1 second. Jeffrey Paul, I've got 5 to review with you. So let's start with a film, animated film, DreamWorks did it, a film called Sing. Did you see it?
No.
Then why are you yucking? Did you see it?
No.
Amory, did you see it? Did you
honestly,
like it?
I don't even.
She
know
liked
what,
it.
I don't even know what it is.
Sing?
I don't. Yeah.
I don't watch it's cartoons. I don't have a
cartoon. Disney films are good. DreamWorks films are not. I was not a fan.
I don't watch that.
All right. Good for you. You're a hero. All right. So Jeffrey Paul, what were the numbers we had here for Sing? Who guessed what?
I think I'm going to win this one.
Okay.
Okay. You had 42.
Okay.
Million. I went 60, and Joe Vesey had 45. Who wins this?
42. What'd you say? 60?
I said 60.
You do win. $54 million is Sing.
Good.
All right, you got one. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut. The next one.
Oh, fuck, man. Street joke.
Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt. in a film that I thought no one would give a fuck about. The film is called Passengers.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that Jennifer Lawrence is onto something.
Okay. Jennifer Lawrence.
She's a keeper.
She's
a Hollywood keeper. Yeah,
it is if you saw her leaked iPhone nude photos.
Hunger Games?
Them titties are legit. Yeah,
is that the Hunger Games?
Yes, sir, it is.
The Hunger Games.
Yeah, I love her.
And she was Hunger Games, that's right. Hunger, I heard it too. And she was in the X-Men films. Two mushmouths up there, apparently. Jeffrey Paul, what were the numbers for Passengers?
I think I'm winning this one, too.
Shoot.
All right. Kevin, 29.
Okay.
Jeff, 50. Joe Vesey, 25.
Joe Vesey's going to win this one. He's really close. 22 million passengers. Wow. Told you, no one's not going to give much of a fuck about that. Budget at 110. This is probably not going to make its money back. Next on the list, the Bryan Cranston, James Franco comedy. Why him?
Okay. We're all close on this, so
okay.
Do your math, Kevin. You said 28.
Ooh.
I said 30.
Uh-huh.
Joe Vesey said 29.
I win by the skin of my nuts. The actual retail price, movie should be called Why Bother? 15 million.
Hey-o.
No one gave a shit about that one. Last on the list, video game film. And as I said before, video game films, 9 times out of 10, eat shit at the box office. Assassin's Creed. Starring Magneto himself, Michael Fassbender.
Okay, we are all over the map on this
one. Okay, budget of 125.
I think you're going to win this one.
Okay.
Okay, you went 19.
Okay.
I said 50.
Right.
And Joe Vesey said 40.
You guys are way off. I was the closest. $14 million. Again, video games, films suck. That's it.
Okay, that was exciting.
Okay, so we've got... What was it, 2-2, you and I? Or no, Vesey got 1?
No, you and... we only did 4.
Right.
So you had 2, and me and Vesey split the others.
All right, so I won that one. Okay, cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll get my badge on the way out. Next, we got a little 8 here. Wow, a lot of stuff coming up. But this is always the graveyard, Kenny Warren, when the studios trot their shit films out.
Right.
So don't expect a lot from some of these films. Okay. Actually, no, I'm sorry. We forgot 1. Go back, Jeffrey Paul, if you don't mind. My fault. Underworld, Blood
yes,
Wars.
I got it on here.
Okay, what do you have?
Again, we're pretty close on this.
Okay.
Kevin said 10.
Okay.
I went 11.3.
Very specific.
And Joe Vesey went 16.1. Mm. That 0.1.
Well, there you go, Jeffrey Paul. Finally, get yourself on the board. 13.1.
Nah, that gives me a tie with you, pal.
You're 2 and I 2. Okay, there you go. Okay.
Yeah,
hey, we'll split our blue ribbon then. Okay, we've got several up here, so we're going to rattle through them kind of quickly. Horror film starring... What's that?
I'm not a hipster, I don't drink blue ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon. Make sure you get the branding in there. Pabst Blue Ribbon, we're definitely open for advertising dollars. Please see us at patreon.com/boxofficepodcast. Bye Bye Man, horror film. Who's the star? Wow. Times are tough. Carrie Ann Moss, who played Trinity in The Matrix, is the lead in this film. Faye Dunaway, surprisingly still alive, is also in this film. Bye Bye Man. Kenny Warren, how much do you think that Bye Bye Man horror film is going to make opening weekend?
$12 million.
$12 million. Jeffrey Paul. And all my numbers are written down, so I don't think I'm pulling anything out of my ass.
Okay. I'm going to go 14.
14. I think you're all a little bit too high. I say 9.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to give a shit about this.
Not even Halloween.
I know that.
Yeah, but kids got to go on a date and they got to go someplace.
Well, I think there are other films that are coming out that are going to be better date films. Not this one, though. Kids film, Monster Trucks, about how monsters take over the spirits of trucks.
Oh, yeah.
The big, and it's kind of a cartoonish, live action film. The biggest star in this one, get ready, kids, Lieutenant Murtaugh himself, Danny Glover.
Yes.
Biggest name in this one, so. Be that as it may, Jeffrey Paul, give me a number. Monster Trucks.
Monster Trucks. Kids, you got Martin Luther King Weekend coming up.
That's actually, is it this week? Yeah, it is. You're right. Wow, God, that's quick.
That is quick. So I'm going to say kids got to go to the movies. Right. Let's go 17.
17. Kenny Warren.
Monsters, 30 million.
Okay, I'm kind of in the middle. I say 26. 26 Monster Trucks. Next one, Jamie Foxx. He's taking time out of banging Katie Holmes and made a film called Sleepless, where basically he's a cop and he's caught stealing money from a drug lord in Vegas. Someone gets kidnapped. They're calling this the Black Taken. That was one of the lines on the internet I saw.
Yeah, definitely.
Sleepless. Jeffrey Paul, let's go with you. How much?
Let's go... Sleepless. Jamie Foxx, pretty big star. Who's the co-star in it?
God damn, I didn't write the co-star's name down.
Is it Dwayne
Wade's wife?
Yes, Gabrielle Union.
Okay, she's pretty.
I think it's funny how we do that in a heartbeat. Yeah. She's still dope as fuck.
She's dope as fuck. I am gonna go 18.
18. Kenny Warren, what do you think? Sleepless. Gabrielle Union. Does she put asses in the seats? Let's find out.
$22 million. Gabrielle Union's ass.
I think ass is pricey, but I don't think it's that much. I think it's a lot lower. I think it's $11 million worth of ass this weekend.
You have no confidence in
James. No, I know, because there are two more films. Well, one for sure, but this one. We'll find out. Ben Affleck, he was in Suicide Squad. He was in Batman vs. Superman. He's now directing a new film about a bunch of rum runners in a film that we've seen advertised all fucking day and night during every NFL game called Live by Night. Ben Affleck, Live by Night, rum running. Kenny Warren, does Ben Affleck become a modern-day Joe Kennedy and make a dent in films this week?
Yes, he's going to make about $37
million. Wow. But so I should say, before he loves final ben answer, Affleck. I should say that. Hold on. Budget of $65 million. Just want to give you that idea.
Okay.
Budget of 65.
$25 million. I change it to 25.
Okay, fair
million.
Enough. I like to give the, if I have the budget, I give it out there. Jeffrey Paul.
Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck. That's a movie that I've seen this commercial a million times.
Again, if you watch any NFL game,
it was all over
the place.
That ass is worth fucking a lot of money, too.
I'm going to say, I'm going to be close to Kang. I'm going to go 21.
Kang. I'm playing the Price is Right role yet again. I'm saying 13 again.
Wow.
Ben Affleck. No one gives a fuck unless he's wearing a Batman costume. That's my...
Ben Affleck.
Did people not like Ben Affleck as Batman?
I liked him in that, but the film itself sucked. Who's kidding who? Terrible. Last one. I think this is going to be the biggest one of the day. Again, if you watch one single NFL game this year, you saw 18,000 previews for this, especially in the last 2 weeks. Marky Mark Wahlberg. This one close to home for him, about the Boston Bombers. A budget of $45 million. Kenny Warren, the film is called Patriots Day. Give me a number, sir.
$14 million.
14. That's Jeffrey Paul.
That's a good guess. I like that. I don't think people are going to be into it as much. I really don't think people want to see relive those type of tragedies again.
Right.
I'm going to go a little bit less though. I'm going to go 13.
I disagree with both of you. I think when you tug at America's heartstrings, it's big. I also know that this has been up for Academy Award nominations already, hence why they brought it out in limited release in December. I say $31 million.
Ooh. Wow.
This is going to be the big one of the week.
People don't like Boston that much.
I don't either, but I think it's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, they want to see them get blown up in marathons.
Oh my God.
People might cheer at that point.
Yeah, because the race would be boring. Nice. And like, yo, this adds a little excitement. You got to like kind of hurdle the bomb.
We've got so that's just this week. We've got four more coming out. We're gonna get through this real fast. The next one, Michael Keaton is making another film, fresh off of Birdman. Highly appreciate
that. It's
not Birdman 2, thankfully. The film is about a guy named Ray Kroc, and I founded a little film called McDonald's called Founder. Budget of $7 million. Jeffrey Paul, Michael Keaton, does he have what it takes to play Ray Kroc? Let's find out. Give me a number.
Well, since no one really knows that much about Ray Kroc, although they did, they were the original owners of the San Diego Padres.
Very true.
I'm going to say Founder. People like McDonald's. They like to eat a hamburger. I'm going to say... $12.5 million.
Oddly specific, but okay. Kenny Warren, McDonald's, Ray Kroc, Michael Keaton. He's also playing the new villain in the new Spider-Man film coming up this summer.
Spider-Man.
Michael Keaton.
He's playing the Vulture in the new Spider-Man film.
Michael Keaton is old as shit.
Yeah, he is old as shit. But he makes some pretty good movies once in a while.
Yeah, he does.
Do you think the founder?
I thought he had a different character.
He's the Vulture.
I thought he was playing old doily boots.
I don't know, man.
That's exactly what that joke deserved.
This
was silence.
This movie's going to be in single digits.
You think?
9.2.
Budget of $7 million. I disagree. I think Founder is going to be pretty well received. 18. I do. I think it's gotten some buzz, early buzz. We'll find out. I actually think I'm going
to see Michael Keaton getting disturbing to look at.
As do most actors and actresses in Hollywood when they get to their later years. I think I'm going to make a dual day. I'm going to go see Patriots Day and Founder and do the old double dip. That one day
you gonna sneak into?
I do that. That's how I see films now. I do
stick it to the man.
Sneak in what?
Stick it to the man.
That's right. The next one, this is going to be a well, I'm not going to say anything. Called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, the biggest name. This is why I chose this film. It is a nationally released film. The first name that was listed, Brett Dalton, right? Who gives a shit? The name after it, ready for this one? Shawn Michaels.
Oh, good.
The Heartbreak Kid himself.
The Shawn Michaels.
Budgeted $2 million. Resurrection of Gavin Stone.
Well, I think Ray Gutz is going to see this a couple of million times. So I'm going
to... Going to give some sweet shin music to this one, huh?
Yeah. Kenny, are you a wrestling guy, too?
10,000 people going to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to say that is going to make... $5 million.
Five?
Nah.
Yeah. Kenny Warren, what do you think?
They're going to probably make about $500,000.
Fuck, I was having like, I'll take 500,000 and one.
100,000?
No, 500,000 and $1.
500,000.1.
I'm going to split it.
$5 million.
You, sir, are going to whiff on this. Okay, we got two more. Well, here you go. When he's not making movies about fucking racing cars, he's making movies about jumping out of fucking airplanes with a, I don't know, wakeboard. Vin Diesel himself returned to the role of Xander Cage in XXX3, technically, because Ice Cube was in 2.
Jesus.
XXX3. Big with the kids. First one was a success. Second one, eh. Vin Diesel returns. What do you think, Jeffrey Paul?
Does anybody care about Vin Diesel anymore?
Yes. Fast and the Furious are printing presses for money, and the new one comes out this summer.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So let's go Vin Diesel, XXX3.
Yeah.
I'm going to say $31 million.
Kenny Warren.
I'm going to say $21
million. I have 35. I think he definitely still has some, a little bit of juice.
Appeal?
Well, that, and it's also,
is he a national treasure?
Is he in or is he?
Is he a national treasure? Like the way Meryl Streep is considered and Tom Hanks.
It depends what demographic you're talking to. I mean, kids in their early 20s, I think, grew up on Fast and the Furious.
So he's a national treasure.
He could be. I ever see Boiler Room? I love that film.
Oh, great movie.
He's also in Saving Private Ryan, another excellent film.
Yes, he was.
But he's obviously like the fifth character. He's not the lead. And the first Fast and the Furious was solid. And the one, 5, where they're in Brazil, I loved it. The other ones are kind of, no. All right. Some are good, some are not good. Okay. 30. Okay, last one. James McAvoy, Professor X, is in a film called Split, where he has 23 personalities.
Directed by
none other than box office kryptonite himself, M. Night Shyamalan.
$30 million.
Oh.
Bold statement by Kenny Warren. Bold statement.
That looks good. I'm going to see that.
Are you?
I'm going to.
You're
going to
go drop $15, and if it's not in 3D.
Wait, how much did you say, Kenny?
30.
30. I think that movie is. It looks fuck. It looks interesting as a movie.
Is it dope as fuck?
It's dope as fuck.
Yeah, but it's M. Night Shyamalan. Whatever. Who gives a fuck? This guy, since. What was that? The Sixth Sense.
Unbreakable was great.
And maybe Signs.
That was okay. Like.
After that,
terrible,
boring, everything fucking boring.
I stopped after the village.
Tapped out. I mean, the one with Marky Mark,
The Invited? Something like that?
Bullshit like that. I can't fucking stand this guy. I hate him.
He even did that Will Smith one, too. Will Smith one.
Fuck him. And his pompous that your first name is M. I don't like him.
Sixth Sense wasn't that great either. I called the ending out in the middle of the theater.
I didn't see it.
Overrated as fuck. Unbreakable was very good. I like Unbreakable.
We were talking about this last week, saying that Donnie Wahlberg, better actor than Mark Wahlberg, and he's in it.
Is he?
Yeah, he was the skinny guy who kills Bruce Willis.
Boy, I haven't seen it in so long.
I haven't seen it in a long time. Who cares? Okay, so Split.
He says 35, right?
I said 30.
Okay.
I'm going lower. I think people are going to be like me, but some people will go see it. 19.
I think you're both high. I said 9 because M. Night Shyamalan is a fucking stain on our society. No, it does look kind of interesting, but I think people go, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, fool me 5 times like he has, not even close.
This is the one I hope I lose on.
Why?
Because I don't want this to do good. Stock with the M. Night Shyamalan. I had enough.
You don't want a resurgence out of him?
No, I don't want any more movies with M. Night Shyamalan.
He must have some amazing blackmail material to get like seven films worth of fucking shit out there. Lady in the Water. Never saw that either.
Do you know how much of my life I've wasted watching these guys hoping that it's going to be great again? And you just sit there and you're like, what just happened?
Well, you're a Jet fan, so you spend a lot of time wasting. Dang.
Stop it.
Stop it. What an argument it was at that point.
Yes.
So M. Night Shyamalan.
What can I say? The Jets have been ass for the last, five, 6 years. There's nothing I can say. You know, they suck.
You need a new owner. If he could somehow die, it'd be great for you.
Oh, but you're sitting
kind of like Al Davis
did. But you're sitting there crowing that one wild card appearance in the last 6 years.
They won a Super Bowl in 5 years ago.
As Janet Jackson would say, what have you done for me lately?
Ooh. That was even sassy the way you said that.
I am sassy.
Wearing a Houston Texans sweatshirt, Kenny Warren's shaking his head in dismay. Like, what the fuck is this?
He said sassy.
Oh, is that a trigger word?
It's definitely a trigger word.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Add that on the other things that white people can't say.
Is that sassy?
No, you can say sassy.
Yeah, like, why can't I say sassy?
I can't say sassy.
Oh, so black women get very upset when
you say brunch?
Can you say brunch?
I work in the barbershop, man. It's the most homophobic place in the world, and all we do is brush other people's hair all day for money.
I mean,
it sounds crazy, right?
It does sound crazy. So sassy was set up.
I would have been a barber. I
would
have, man.
Would you?
I would. I think it's a fun job.
It is fun.
I can imagine. A lot of the bullshit going on there, that's, you know, could be a good time.
You know, I think it was the scene in Coming to America that made me want to be a barber. I love the conversation. I think that was the best part of the movie, by the way.
It is.
Very true. Well, listen, we got to wrap things up. Hey, Kenny Warren, where the hell can we find you? How about some plugs?
You can find me at the Grizzly Pear on Wednesdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 8 p.m., every other Sunday at the Village Lantern at 8 p.m. And I got a couple open mics uptown. I'm headed to one right now at the Duck Quack Quack.
Excellent. Jeffrey Paul.
Be at the Comedy Shop on January 28th.
I'll do that in April, actually.
8 o'clock. Good show. I think I'm with Teddy Daniels that night. Good guy, good sports guy.
Sure.
We should get him on here. I'll be at Greenwich Village Comedy Club pretty much most of a lot of the month of January. So just check out my Facebook page where I post my shows.
Yours truly can be found. I'll be at Dangerfield tonight. Dangerfield's 8:30. Who cares? I can hear, but 13th Broadway Comedy Club at 8 o'clock. 20th and 21st Comedy Cove in Springfield, New Jersey. Here's what I'm kind of looking forward to. Mohegan Sun Comics, February 2nd, 10 o'clock.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, more importantly, Comics Watching Comics, kids. Episode 9 we're on now. Good stuff. At Comics Watching on Twitter. ComicsWatchingComics.com. And, of course, Kevin Goatee, GOOTEE.com. Guys, thanks a lot for listening to the old Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Please, please, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We need it. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Kevin Goatee, Jeffrey Paul, and Kenny Warren, thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.
Yes.
That's a good show. Yeah.